everyone, this is Melissa Rowe, and I'd like to welcome you to another episode of my podcast, Mel's Podtastic Life. Let's get into it. Hello again, and thank you for listening. This is Mel's Podtastic Life, official episode 3. It's been a while. I've contributed to the Audio Mo series this year, but I have been one busy lady with school and a lot of stuff going on. So I hope everyone's been having a great holiday season so far. We just celebrated Thanksgiving here in the States, and it's been a great one. So before we get started on today's episode, I want to let everyone know a couple of things. First of all, this is a project that I'm doing for my school, so this is a very important episode, and it's very different from stuff that I've been doing on the site. Second of all, a little minor disclaimer here. We will be discussing drug use, so the topic will be very sensitive in nature today, so I just want to let everyone know about that before we get started. November 12th is my birthday, and this year I decided to step out and travel. It's been a long time since I've left town. With the pandemic, everyone's been virtually staying at home and just trying to survive. I was really excited about this trip. It would be the first time I'd see my brother in over 10 years. He has 2 kids now, and I've only seen one of them. And I had yet to meet his new wife. I was also going to be hanging out with friends for that weekend. So November 12th promised to be a really exciting birthday weekend. But I was also coming to Hesperia for another reason. Hesperia, almost 20 years ago, was a town that was supposed to represent new hope for us. In 2002, our father passed away. I was only 16 years old. And my brother Sean, who was the youngest of the 4 of us, was 8. This year I was going to see my brother Paul, and he and I had one thing that we were very concerned about this holiday season, and that was our sister. After father's death, all of us tried to find ways to cope. I sank deeper and deeper into depression. My brother tried to hang out outside more. He didn't want to be at home in the same house that reminded him of Dad. My sister? Well, she found boyfriends, marijuana, and eventually meth. She's been using drugs for almost 20 years now, and it's been difficult to get her the help that she needs. Either she refuses the help altogether, or she slips off the radar if she thinks family is getting a little too close, when all we want to do is take care of her and her beautiful children. My sister had 4 children several years ago, and I heard that times were very tough. I spoke to Mom about my sister's drug use, and it was getting worse. There were stories about her breaking her children's toys, thinking that the government had hidden microphones in them. There were stories about my sister getting upset, and if she didn't have the drugs, she would hit her kids, her boyfriend, or anyone else who was near. In fact, she's threatened my mom's life several times. And my mom, who is now sick with multiple sclerosis, cannot get near my sister for safety reasons. Last year, on a visit to Colorado, we were informed that my sister's 5th baby had been born, and meth and marijuana had been found in the baby system. The baby, of course, had to be taken away. Fearing what social services would do to the rest of her children, my sister left the hospital as soon as the hospital staff turned their backs. She didn't even come in the hospital to give birth. She arrived with the umbilical cord still attached, baby outside of the body. That was when the tests were performed, and meth and marijuana was found in the baby system. My sister left before she could get proper afterbirth care. Last we know, she left the hospital bleeding. We were concerned about her, and wanted so much to make sure she was okay. My mom, who has tried everything in her power to help my sister, has been devastated. No word from her for several years. I spoke to my brother, who lives in Hesperia, not too far from my sister. I asked him if he had heard from her, and he said no, not for at least a year and a half. It was very sad, because more than ever, we wanted this family to finally close 20 years of hurt and sadness. We wanted to bring our sister back in the fold. My mom asked me before I went on my trip, see what you can do to find out more about her. The only thing we had found out about her is now she is 5 to 7 weeks pregnant, baby number 6. Right now, blood is coursing through that child's body that is tainted with whatever drug is going around, whatever my sister has decided to start using. I needed to understand why. The family has tried to intervene, and they have tried to give her care. But with her being on the basic government-funded insurance for welfare program recipients, there was not much we could do. There was not much my sister was eligible for. Every time we did find a program that was supposed to help her, she would quit the program very, very quickly. Either that, or she would become so violent because of the drug withdrawal symptoms that the program would even ask her to leave. We couldn't figure it out. When we found out that my sister was 5 to 7 weeks pregnant this year, the only thing my mom could respond with is, at least I know she's still alive. We'd love to know where she is. But it doesn't look like we'll find her anytime soon. Her and her boyfriend have virtually lived a party, drug-filled lifestyle, and who knows what's happened to the rest of their children. Rumor has it that her boyfriend's mom is taking care of them, but we have yet to know for sure. I needed to understand what was going on in my sister's mind. I needed to understand why meth was such a powerful drug, why it had such a powerful hold on people like my sister. I began to do research, and I discovered more about meth than I really wanted to know. I saw videos on babies hooked on meth because they'd been exposed through pregnancy. I learned about meth's powerful hold, the amount of dopamine that it releases in the brain, 3 times the amount more than cocaine use, 4 times the amount more than morphine use. Meth is also synthetically processed, so it's very cheap and easy to get your hands on. It's also very dangerous. Nobody knows what chemicals go into meth. People build it in labs. And that's why it's even more difficult to predict what could happen to children who are exposed to meth. This is why U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez once said, "In terms of damage to our children and to our society, meth is now the most dangerous drug in America." While doing research, I stumbled upon a guide for would-be parents adopting children who have been exposed to meth through pregnancy. Before we can understand how it affects the baby, we need to understand how it affects the mother. When meth enters the body, it creates such an intense rush. Feelings of increased activity and decreased appetite, and feelings of well-being, energy, power. That's what the users are feeling when the drug enters their body. But when the drug goes away, they feel heavily drained and deeply depressed. And most importantly, that's what makes them come back for more. The drug's effects can last anywhere from 20 minutes to 12 hours. Long-term effects for the mother include physical and psychological effects such as strong and quick addition insomnia, increased blood pressure and pulse, and decreased reaction time. Large doses can cause convulsions and stroke, overheating and heart attack, and in worst cases, death. Long-term physical effects include weakness, tremors, seizures, dental decay, weight loss, anorexia, coughing, dry mouth, rapid facial aging, brain damage, kidney damage, liver damage, heart damage, skin sores, and infection. Furthermore, prolonged meth use can lead to increased risk of stroke, HIV, and hepatitis. The long-term cognitive effects include decreased ability to recognize and recall words and pictures, make inferences, manipulate information, learn from experience, ignore irrelevant information. The short-term psychological effects: increased confidence, increased good mood and increased sex drive, increased talkativeness and decreased boredom and loneliness. The brain damage caused by chronic meth use can also lead to these long-term psychological effects: insomnia, aggression, anxiety, confusion, mood disorders, psychotic behavior, which may include hallucinations, delusions, paranoia, and homicidal and suicidal thoughts. This is a pretty dangerous drug, folks, and we haven't even dove into the danger that awaits the child. As we all know, through pregnancy, a child is exposed to whatever chemical, drug, or substance the mother is putting into her body. Everything comes through the blood supply across the placenta, so a child exposed to meth can experience these complications: birth defects, growth retardation, premature birth, low birth weight, and brain lesions. On top of that, meth users may be supremely malnourished. If that's the case, the child will be malnourished as well, which can add on additional complications. We have no idea exactly what will happen to a fetus who has been exposed to meth. This really depends on how long the mother has been using, how much, and what chemicals are going into the meth that she is taking. For this reason, I really believe that drug rehabilitation for women is necessary. Very specialized drug rehabilitation. There are three important reasons why I believe women, especially mothers, need specialized care. First and foremost, mothers want to be near their children. Mothers that really do care about their children, despite whatever the drug is telling them. Inside their heart, they love and care about their children, although it may not seem like that on the outside. Some gender-specific programs do allow children to come into the program with the mother. The Right Side Up program in Georgia, for example, allows two children under the age of 13 to be with their mother in their residential setting. Group, family, and play therapy is often involved, so this gives the mother bonding time with her children. And it also helps with stress management, because no one ever said raising a child would be easy. Second of all, this takes the woman out of the outside world, away from negative influences. My sister had a boyfriend who supplied her with drugs. What he didn't realize is that drug use for women has greater consequence than it does for men. Women bring life into this world. They have a lot of hormonal changes and things that they have to deal with during pregnancy. They need specialized support. These drug rehabilitation centers that are gender specific will give women support during and after pregnancy to maintain a drug-free lifestyle and to try as best as they can to not let these chemicals enter a fetus's body. If my sister had been away from these outside influences, who knows where she'd be today. The final reason that specialized care for women is so important is that most of these centers, like the Right Side Up in Georgia, are dual diagnosis centers. This means that they not only help the woman cope with the effects of drug use, but they help her deal with other things such as trauma, abuse, mental illness, possibly things that have gotten them into using the drugs in the first place. Women need specialized care. They deal with giving life. They deal with raising children. And they deal with so much that goes into the reasons why they take these drugs. And that's why they need these centers. There is also a center called New Directions for Women in California. This is also a place for women and their children to get specialized care, and for mothers to help live a drug-free lifestyle. but gender-specific programs like these are very unreachable for women in the welfare system. The New Directions for Women, for example, doesn't take payments from Medicaid or Medicare insurance. So women who are on a low or fixed income may be discouraged from attending the program, since there's no way for them to pay. I believe it's time for a change. We need to encourage centers like New Directions for Women to start allowing more low-income women in special circumstances into their program. While scholarships are available, some women do need to come up with some of the cost. And that is why I think a probationary sponsorship program might be beneficial to these women. I'm in the process of contacting New Directions for Women, and we'll see where this goes. I'm hoping a probationary sponsorship program, where a woman could attend the program, show her responsibility and commitment to the program, and therefore gain sponsorship so she can finish the program. I'm hoping that more centers like Right Side Up in Georgia and New Directions for Women will pop up all over the world. For people who are in low-income circumstances, write to your state, see what you can do to try to get your relative involved in the specialized care that they so desperately need. Coming up in just a moment, I will be interviewing a woman who is blind and who grew up in a home where there was heavy parental substance abuse. For this reason, her life has been difficult. She is an example of why women so importantly need specialized care. Hello, everyone. This is Melissa Rowe for my podcast. Today, we will be interviewing Ashley Garrett from Dallas, Texas. Now, Ashley has a story to tell about her life as a child affected by parental drug abuse. So, hi, Ashley, and welcome to our podcast.
Hi, and thank you.
Awesome. Great to have you here, and thanks for taking the time to do the interview. I know this is not an easy subject to discuss, so... It's okay. It's okay. Well, we all need a little Christmas cheer, so... So, ho, ho, ho to Santa. That's totally cool. That is a cool ringtone. So, thank you for joining us again. I realize it's not an easy subject to talk about.
It's okay.
But I realize that, so but I very much appreciate that for the interview. So, before we get started, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, as she said, I'm here in Dallas. I'm originally from California. I love doing anything crafty related. I'm a huge bookworm, as Melissa can tell you.
And you also have a disability, correct?
Yes, I am visually impaired. I have optic nerve hypoplasia. I'm considered a high partial because I'm able to see more than what is considered low partial.
So you can see colors and stuff like that.
Colors, shadows, shapes. All that stuff.
Cool. So, you unfortunately had a pretty traumatic childhood growing up. So did both of your parents do drugs, or was it one parent in particular?
It was both.
Okay. And how old were your parents when you were born? Were they teenagers or?
Mom was 15, Dad was 18.
Oh my goodness, that's young.
Yeah, that was young.
Now, do you have any idea of what kind of drugs your parents were using?
Well, at the time, my mom was barely getting into like marijuana and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It was a few years later when she met who was my stepdad when she started getting into meth and angel dust and all the other drugs.
Oh no, I'm so sorry. Now, were you an only child, or did you have siblings?
I have a brother who is 4 years younger than me, actually.
Okay. Now, and what was it like growing up with your parents when they had their drug use?
It was chaotic.
Now, explain that, chaotic.
Yeah. Well, there were times when they didn't have their drugs that violence would ensue, basically.
Now, were they
Real
violent
violence.
towards you and your brother, or were they violent towards each other, or both?
Either towards each other or me.
Oh, so they weren't violent towards your brother.
No, he was the
This.
favorite.
Oh no. Do you wonder why? Like, have you guys ever thought about the reason why they didn't attack you as much? Or your brother as
Oh,
much?
they didn't attack him as much. I don't know. I never really thought about that.
That's interesting, though. So how was it living with your parents? Living wise, like, did you guys have to bounce from house to house, or what was the living situation like?
There were times when we had to bounce from house to house, or if we couldn't afford the rent at all, we'd be living in either a baseball field or a school playground or park bench.
Oh my God. And there
Or
were
hotels
nights
if
you
we could afford it.
if you could afford it. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry. So when you went to school during all this, what was your education like?
Kind of very, in a way, up and down. Like, my teachers they kind of knew what was going on, but didn't know how to get involved. So, they made sure I got my homework in and was able to get it done. If I didn't do it at home, I was able to do it at school.
So they were sympathetic to your situation. That's
Now,
good.
when I got to high school, that kind of had to change because, of course, it's high school.
Yeah. So when were your parents supportive of your goals? I mean, did they support your,
Oh,
education or no?
no. No. There were times when I had to actually beg to go to school.
And why is that? Why is that?
They wanted me to be around to do all the cleaning, or, well, not cooking, but the cleaning and whatever needed to be done around the house.
So your parents basically treated you as a servant while they did drugs, and your brother was treated kind of differently. I have to wonder if was it your mom that mostly treated your brother differently, or your dad, or
It
both?
was actually both.
Oh my goodness. So what were your guys' situations regarding food? How was that like?
Sometimes there were days when we would just have nothing but like a bag of potato chips between the four of us.
And did your parents ever cook? Did they didn't provide you with anything?
When they were pretty much coming down off the drug and in their good state, in their happy state, they would. Like, it was mainly my stepdad that would cook. He was the cook of the family.
And he so it so the stepdad used drugs as well after your dad?
He was, well, my dad was only in my, well, in the picture for, like, I guess a month or so after I was born and
Oh my
started going out with
goodness.
another woman. Stepdad
Oh.
came around when I was four, or no, two. My brother was
And
born when I was four, so.
oh, okay. So, and the stepdad is your brother's father.
Yes.
Okay. And you say that they only cooked, when they were coming down off of the drug, and they were kind of in that state of euphoria, and
Yeah.
nothing would bother them. Oh my goodness. So did you guys go to school like hungry, and did the school feed you, or?
Thankfully, we got the free meals, free breakfast and free lunch at school.
Now, it's actually very important to know, where exactly were you did you grow up in? I know you said you
San
were from
Bernardino.
California. Oh, San Bernardino. Oy. Yeah, not exactly the cleanest places. So what was health care like for you and your brother? Did you guys receive, good health care? Did your parents get your shots and everything on time? How was that?
They made sure we had our shots. They had to, with school districts and all that. But
Oh,
as far
yeah.
as health care goes, let's just say when I was 14, I broke my foot. It never got treated. I crushed my foot. It never got treated.
And now, why is that? Did your parents just not have the money, or what was their
They
reasoning for
didn't
not
care.
taking you?
They didn't
They
really care.
just.
I had the Medi-Cal kind of health care. So they could have taken me in, got it treated, got me in
Okay.
a cast or whatever it needed, but they just were lazy about it.
Now, do you think it was because they probably just didn't have their drugs with them and didn't care about anything else but getting their fix, or?
I don't know. That could have been the case.
Yeah, because that broken foot should have been taken care of. It should have been. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So, do you believe that your parents, especially your mother, you know, after having you and your brother, do you believe in specialized care for people that need drug rehabilitation?
Yes, I do.
Do you feel that your parents would have been successful parents if they'd received proper drug rehabilitation therapy?
If the therapy would have happened early on, yes. Like, as soon as trouble started. Like, as soon as the hardcore drug use started.
And even hopefully before that to prevent
drug use. Yeah.
Because it seems that your mom followed the same path of my sister, where when she was young, she was 16 when she got pregnant and she had her first kid. And at first she tried the substances, you know, like marijuana and, you know, because that's what most of the teenagers are doing most of those times. Mm-hmm. And then within a few years, pretty much kind of the same way, she got into meth and whatever other drugs she was using. All I know is that there was marijuana and meth involved. But what would you give what is a piece of advice that you would give, first of all, to parents who are going through drug abuse, and first of all to second of all to children who have to endure this kind of abuse? What would you say to the parents first?
To the parents, I would say, do what you can to get yourself some help. Think of those kids. They come first.
That's right. And what would you say to children who are going through the effects of parental substance abuse?
If I could, I would offer them my help, honestly. Just a shoulder to cry on.
What would you say to them, though? What kind of advice would you give them?
I don't know. Keep your chin up. It's not going to be like that forever.
Go get help.
If you can, go get your parents' help.
Go talk to an adult.
Go talk to a counselor at school.
Yeah. Because there are people that do listen. They do care.
Guidance counselors do care. They really do. Or even a teacher.
Now, is that what you guys had to do to get you some help? You had to go to teachers and guidance counselors?
No, I didn't know who to turn to, thankfully. my parents got caught building a meth lab.
Oh my gosh.
So I was put into foster care.
Oh no. I'm so
sorry.
And
foster care saved my life. It's okay.
Yeah. But do you think, had you taken that advice when you were much younger and gone to a guidance counselor or a teacher, do you think you might have gotten the help sooner?
Probably. I probably would have.
Well, guys, you heard it here first from somebody who went through years of abuse and neglect due to her parents' drug abuse. I would strongly encourage anyone, and don't be afraid. Do not be afraid of what your parents may convince you to not talk to anybody because they don't want to get in trouble. It's not that they, you know, don't love you. At least we'd like to believe that. But what really matters to them is getting that next hit. And if you talking to the school counselor is preventing that, they'll do whatever they can to keep the drugs flowing in. So definitely very, very sage advice from someone who has been through this unfortunate predicament.
And actually, here's another piece of advice. Mm-hmm. Don't let your parents manipulate you. The lack of drugs or the want for the drugs is going to make them tell you whatever you want to hear. Don't listen. Don't give in.
And so your parents were very manipulative?
Oh, yeah. They were very manipulative.
Mm. Yeah. And, you know, it's a question I also forgot to mention earlier. Your brother didn't have any birth defects. I know you were born blind. And I don't know, like, optic nerve hypoplasia is not really tied to any drugs. It's more of a congenital defect, but did your brother have any birth defects regarding, you know, the abuse?
Not that I know of. I think I remember hearing that he was born with some speed in his system.
Oh my God. Now, and that was at the time when your mom was, did your mom use speed or?
I think she was on it around that time.
Oh.
That's when she was starting to get into everything.
The hardcore drugs. Hardcore. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, and that's what we're trying to prevent. We're trying to prevent mothers from doing these drugs with their children, because when the kids are born on it, it's pretty devastating stuff. I'm going to be putting a video in the show notes of an actual baby going through meth withdrawals, and it's a pretty disturbing video to watch. So, well, Ashley, I would love to thank you so much for you participating in this interview. I realize it was a difficult topic. Is there anything you'd like to say before we end this interview?
I hope that whoever listens to this podcast of Melissa's can benefit from it somehow.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you again so much for joining us, and we will be talking soon. Take care.
You too.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. I would like to let you know that if you or someone you know has been using drugs and is in need of help, there is help available. Even if you don't think you need help, there are people here who are willing to help you through every step of your journey. There is no shame. There is no judgment. Call the Recovery Village at 866-245-4572 if you need help. My recommendation is to also look for gender-specific, residential specialized care programs as close to your area as possible. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Make it a New Year's resolution for 2022 to live a drug-free life. I will also include links to Right Side Up and New Directions for Women on the show notes, and comments and suggestions are welcome on the blog. Thank you again for listening. And have a great day.